Hey guys, it's the Great Debates, and it's almost 4th of July.
We're getting close.
4th of July is coming.
Happy birthday, America. I'm just kidding. I don't care about that.
What? Come on, of course. Happy
How
birthday, America.
How could you not care about that?
What the hell, bro?
Sorry.
Dude. I got a micro top.
Yeah. Let's just go.
Yeah. I'm ready. Are
Let's
you ready?
Go.
Yeah.
Heels.
Yes.
Let's have you take the pro, bud.
Okay.
Oh, you would take the pro.
I usually do.
Got 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
The topic is, it's possible for a dog to be a hero.
Okay, look, how do we define a hero? What makes a hero? Self-sacrifice, courage, loyalty, devotion to others, putting other lives or other creatures above yourself, sacrificing yourself, putting yourself at some risk to save others. Those are qualities of a hero. A dog can and has done any of those things. Dogs run into burning houses to save children or to warn people about children. Dogs put themselves at risk in car accident scenarios. There's a million scenarios where a dog has the opportunity to display courage and self-sacrifice and risk their life and their pleasant existence for the sake of some cause higher than their dog life. I think it's actually might be easier for a dog to be a hero because like a dog's life isn't that valuable.
You've lost it, man.
So it's pretty easy to put something above your dog life and be a hero.
Well, by that stupid rationale, then like a dog is constantly being a hero because it's always subservient.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that I think is just absurd. I mean, that's just an absurd argument. I think it disproves what you
just
were saying.
Just saying
earlier.
The argument is absurd doesn't win the debate, bud. Like,
yeah, I have other points.
Okay.
Basically, I think a dog is incapable of self-sacrifice. I think all of the things that you're saying that a dog does are things that are doing entirely on survival instinct or by training off of the things that make a dog a hero. Or, we could talk about dogs stimping out bombs or the dogs that, like, took people out of the rubble. Okay. Well, even going into a burning building, dogs can be trained by firefighters to do that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that they're heroes.
Marines train for dangerous scenarios.
But they're conscious of what they're doing, and they made a choice to be trained that way. No dog has ever signed up to be trained to run into a building burning building.
But I think dogs have signed up to run into burning buildings knowing that's unfavorable to just because they wanted to
dogs
save
don't,
a human.
The idea of a dog signing up for anything is ludicrous. Dogs don't sign up to eat the food that you give them. They don't sign up
Do
to
you
take
think
a
dogs
shit
make
on the
decisions?
Sidewalk.
Do you think dogs make choices?
Yes, I think they make choices
Do you think two
based
different
on
dogs
instinct.
Might react to, don't you think it's possible that two different dogs would react differently to a burning house? One dog whimpers and hides under a bush and doesn't do anything. The other dog, arf, arf, and points the fireman to where the kid is and so they can rescue him.
I think it's possible, but I think that if the most likely
reason... So it's possible for a dog to be a hero.
No, I think that the most likely reason that... That's not what I said at all. All I agreed to was that dogs could react differently to something. I don't know
heroically
how
heroically or non-heroically.
Well, I don't think that demonstrates heroism. Again, what I would say is that if there is a difference between two randomly selected dogs' behaviors, one of them is more likely to have been trained to react in a way that we would prescribe with human words to be heroic.
Take humans out of it. Do you think it's possible that a pack of wild dogs...
Take humans out of it.
Unobserved by humans.
Yeah.
A wolf is attacking the pack of wild dogs and one dog fights off the wolf to save his fellow dogs.
Do you want me to answer that?
Wouldn't that dog be a hero?
Not necessarily. I think that there's like... No, not at all. He's a dog. You're going to give it to Healy. We
no,
all know.
Go with Dave.
Oh, this is a sop.
No, it's not. It's
crazy. What?
Dave made good arguments.
What?
For a very difficult topic. Of course, we all want to believe that a dog can be a hero, but he presented a way to debunk that myth, and so I'm siding with him.
Strong disagree. Respectfully disagree.
Yeah, but you're on the other side.
But sometimes I think, Dave, sometimes I think...
Also, your argument was pretty basic.
Yeah,
sure.
Kind of a basic bitch argument.
Whoa! Well, we're talking...
What?
Basic bitch. That could be a dog that's not a hero.
Interesting.
It's a basic bitch.
You know what? I'll give it up for that.
I like it. I'll take it.
Thank you.
That's the first good point you've made all podcast.
I got to say something happened...
Say it.
With regard to the podcast that made me feel really old.
Mm.
We had an argument about architects, and I named Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch as a famous fictional architect.
Right.
So, like, That scene in Harry Potter when the owl's letters yes. come flooding into the whoever's house, that's basically what happened to the inbox. Like, so many people wrote in to be like, Ted Mosby
uh-huh, is from the most How famous TV architect.
Yeah, from How I Met Your Mother.
We should. Yeah, it is embarrassing.
I'm talking about a TV show from like the 70s.
Yeah, well, it was a terrible example that you chose.
You know, Carter,
I don't know what else to tell you.
In 2004, I was working on a TV show, and Carter Bays and Craig Thomas were mm-hmm. these two guys, and mm-hmm. they were working there, and they were like, they were pitching these shows, and they're like, we got two ideas. One is called Whitey, and it's like a David Spade kind of guy. He's a Wall Street white-collar criminal. He gets sentenced to 100 episodes of community service teaching in an inner-city school.
Okay.
And I was like, that is brilliant.
That's a home run idea,
home
baby.
Home run. And these, and then they're like, we got another idea, too. It's called How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, this, it's going to be told the story of how these people met, and they're telling it to the kids. And a lot of times in my life, I've been like, I've heard an idea, and I think that's stupid, and then it turns out to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
These guys told me that, and I was like, you guys, that is going to be a huge hit. It's going to run for 8 years.
Which one?
How I Met Your Mother.
I thought the story was going to end with you going like, you got to make Whitey.
No, I did think that was great, okay. But when they told me How I Met Your Mother, I was like, that's even better than Whitey. Yeah, this is great.
It was great.
Anyway, sorry I put Mike Brady over Ted Mosby, guys. I'm an old man.
Yeah, you are. That's all I got.
We're in host chat,
We're in host chat.
Yeah.
Summertime continues.
Long June. Still living in long
June. It's important to point out that it's still long June because that's part of like...
Thank you.
You know, growing the size of the myth and the size of the month, really.
Yeah.
Are you guys having a good summer so far?
It's been nice, yeah.
I'm hoping that the best part of my summer... is the one that I had in between us recording this and this being released.
There you go.
I've had a great summer so far.
You had something that you wanted to do in host chat, test or a game or...
Sort of.
Okay.
This thing came up right before we started podcasting tonight, and it was a thing that speaking of old men, my old man taught me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad was a huge Jerry Lewis fan.
Okay.
And I'm not sure whether he got this from Jerry Lewis or he was also a DJ on the radio. And he used to talk about this thing called the radio test or the announcer's test. And it was this sort of oral tradition that was passed down. It's sort of like a memory test if you were trying to be an announcer on the air. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And so like the idea was that I think Jerry Lewis later incorporated this into his routine. Like, he would do it by memory, and it was sort of a fun little parlor act. Yet. But my dad would also do it, and he did it so often that we, like, as children, we had to memorize it. We didn't have to, but we just, over time, we did. So here's what happens. Basically, I'm going to say a phrase. What's that?
Okay, you're going to...
You made a gesture.
Towards Medina.
Oh, okay.
He's going to take the test.
Okay, Medina's going to take the test. Basically, it's sort of a counting exercise, but basically all you have to do is repeat after me in succession each phrase. Okay, are you ready, Medina?
Are you ready to administer the test?
Yeah, I am.
How will we know if he scores well?
Well, basically the idea is that you're supposed to be able to do it all the way through.
Okay.
But I can basically tell you that that's impossible.
Okay.
And as soon as Medina makes a mistake, I'll give you the whole thing.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm very nervous.
It's fine. It's stupid. Don't worry about this. Mm-hmm. Okay. But also, I should say, just really, this is the last thing I'll say about before we get into it. There's a lot of different versions of this that I read, like, since I went on the internet to learn about this. I'm not reading off of anything right now, but this is the version that my dad told me. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat after me. One hen.
One hen.
One hen, two ducks.
One hen, two ducks.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four Limerick oysters.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four Limerick oysters.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four Limerick oysters, five corpulent porpoises.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four Limerick oysters, five. Ugh, I lost it.
Healy?
Corpulence.
Yeah.
But.
Porpoises.
Porpoises.
Corpulent porpoises. Okay, so you got up to five. There's 10.
Wow.
Here's the whole thing.
Great.
This is so dumb.
Are you kidding? I'm enthralled.
Okay. This is the best.
Okay, I'm going to try to remember it. I think I can do it. One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four limerick oysters, five corpulent porpoises, six pairs of Donnell Berzo's tweezers, 7,000 mass-marching Macedonians in full battle array,
oh my God.
Eight brass monkeys from the ancient sacred crypts of Egypt, nine lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep with a marked propensity towards procrastination and sloth, 10 apathetic, sympathetic, diabetic, old men on roller skates who all stored at the corner store with the quo, the quay, and the quivy, and all at the same time. That's the end of the test.
Too difficult.
Yeah, challenging.
Pretty dumb, kind of.
Is this
interesting?
So every broadcaster, very interesting. Like, does Vin Scully know this?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
What would he score on that test?
Let's get him in here.
I mean, he's at 95.
Guest. Yeah. Is he?
No, he's like 90 or something.
Wow, he's very old.
I feel like that was embarrassing.
What are you talking about? That was brilliant.
It was dorky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But kind of endearing.
I don't really register dorky. Is that possible?
That's why you like us.
We have something special planned, right?
That's right.
Well, we got a few things to get to yet. We still got to do a little bit of top about.
We're going to talk about.
What would an episode of The Great Debates be without top about?
I feel like.
But yes, coming up very soon, we do have something very special planned. The 4th of July is upon us. We're all getting pumped up for the season. I just went on my big fireworks run to New Mexico.
Yeah, baby.
I got in a car and I drove about 1,600 miles to go from California to somewhere at the other end of New Mexico to get just the fireworks that I wanted. Mm. It was so hot that by the time I got back and I was in Phoenix, I stopped at the Arizona Biltmore to watch the fourth quarter of the NBA Finals
game. Seven.
Was it so hot that you were afraid the fireworks might like spontaneously?
I started to smell like gas in the car. Like maybe it was sort of evaporating. And I thought, there's a tinderbox in my back seat there.
Did you eat anything good on the road?
I had some nice chicken fingers from Cane's Chicken Fingers.
That sounds so good.
Those were cool. I had some bad beef jerky.
That sounds bad.
That's part of the road trip experience,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm. I tried a chocolate-covered Twinkie for the first time. Wasn't into it.
I never had one. That doesn't
I think
sound
the Twinkie
good.
Is perfected.
Yeah.
We don't need to fuck with it.
The Twinkie's lemon flavored, so putting chocolate on it is weird.
It's wrong.
Is that right? The Twinkie is lemon flavored?
Yeah. It's like lemon sponge cake.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I always just right. thought of it as like a neutral pound cakey thing, but I think you're right.
It's got a little bit of brightness.
It's got a little lemon.
Little brightness there. But anyway, yeah, we're all jazzed for 4th of July. Okay, so we've got something special planned for the main event during for this episode of 4th of July. But before that, like, top about them, guys. Mm. I wanted to throw a couple things at you that listeners sent in. Mm. For instance, Patrick C. submitted, Nixon wasn't that bad.
Love. Love that top.
If I were a little better versed in 20th century history, man, I just feel like I don't know.
Yeah.
What does your gut say, Healy?
Nixon did a lot of terrible things. Number one crime might be like bombing Cambodia.
Yeah.
Basically,
can't do that.
Could pin the Khmer Rouge riot, million people killed on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad. Prolonged the Vietnam War.
Bad news.
That's pretty bad. Betrayed the Constitution quite a bit.
Not great.
Watergate, mm-hmm. whatever. That one you could put to sort of misjudgment. The other ones, if you were making the case for Nixon, you could say like, hey, he was playing the game of real politic at the right. highest level. That
sure.
Nobody's going to get away clean from that. It's an immoral game, but he was basically trying to preserve American power as best he could. Nixon, his heart was in the right place, but took it a little too far.
What in there did he do that was good?
EPA, Clean Water Act, bunch of stuff.
EPA, disappointment.
Ultimately, Nixon was pretty terrible. Divided
right.
the country,
war
made things
drugs.
Worse.
Yeah. Only guy who had to quit. I mean, that's rough.
I went to, they have the Nixon Library here in California, and it used to be that it was like managed by like the Nixon partisans, and the whole thing was like a Nixon propaganda. The exhibit on Watergate was all about how Nixon had been completely railroaded and this was ridiculous, and it was quotes from Nixon supporters. But then they transferred the library to like the National Archives or something under some deal, and now it's a little bit more like, yeah, this.
That reminds me of, remember when you and I, Healy, we went to the Hanoi Hilton, as they call it, where John McCain was a prisoner. Mm-hmm. Healy and I were in Vietnam together, and the pictures there are like, it's like the Americans are like playing volleyball and stuff.
Christmas.
Yeah, it's like, and they were entertained while they were here. It's like, well, I don't know about that, man. But, you know.
Okay, so listener Jeremy B. has a topic for us. It's a bad musical is better than a bad movie.
Oh, God, no. I totally disagree.
A bad musical is a nightmare.
I mean, a good musical, I think, is worse than most bad movies.
Oh, you know who's a dork and a model for a successful dorkhood owning your dorkiness? Lin-Manuel Miranda. Of Hamilton.
Well, that's a whole other debate, my friend. I don't know that he's a dork.
What?
He's a huge dork.
He's a huge dork. I think he would self-admit to being a huge dork.
I would argue that he suffers from dorkiness.
Lame-itude, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't...
But he embraces it, owns it, gives hope to the million theater dork kids that are out there.
How?
He's like embracing his lameness and
how is he embracing his corniness? Lameness in more his Twitter than like and public every other and person who's on in Broadway?
I'm talking about him as the most successful Broadway guy. But some people are like pretentious. So. He's very like self-effacing. I don't think he's.
I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate because I love to, but.
I didn't expect to get drawn this far into it.
What self-effacing things of his have you come across?
Basically, his Twitter feed. He's all like sort of making fun of himself. I'm a big dork. Can you believe it? Ah, here I am at the Tonys. What?
Yeah, that to me is not dorkiness. That's like. Not being able to be humble.
All right, whatever, man.
Sorry.
One more top about
it. I have. Oh, sorry. Okay.
One more top about it. Yeah, one more top. I'm going to get you out of here.
Okay.
From listener Sharon, a historical polymath, for instance, Da Vinci, Alexander Graham Bell, Isaac Newton, would have been more productive if he'd been able to use the internet.
That's a case by case. I don't know. Hard to take these guys out.
Is it though? Is it?
Yeah, maybe some of them would have been into it, but some of them would have just, you know, gotten addicted to internet porn or playing poker or whatever, and we never would have heard of them.
Point. That's fascinating to picture Isaac Newton getting addicted to, like,
I think Isaac Newton is the one who's most on edge.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Newton made these amazing discoveries, but he also spent like 20 years of his life like working out Bible codes and stuff. Like he was an obsessive weirdo. I think it's pretty easy. He could have taken a wrong turn on the internet and we never would have heard of him.
Lost him to the forums.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have been like a jet fuel can't melt steel guy?
He could have very much been a jet fuel steel beans.
Yeah. I could see that's interesting.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, we assume that's always the case here on Great Debates Radio.
I love top about them, Scott.
You do.
It's my
I'm
favorite
actually shocked by how much
segment.
You've taken to top about them.
I'm really into top about them.
Dave, you still
get to hear a little debate on a lot of topics that would otherwise have to kind of fly right by.
Have you figured out yet what bottoms bottoms is?
No, we're still working on it. Bottoms.
When you get that.
No, I did figure it out. It's when we reach the end of top about them.
Oh, are we there?
I think we're there.
I think it's bottoms. Okay, guys, who's excited for the 4th of July spectacular? The Great Debates 4th of July spectacular. Pre-4th
of
July.
The 4th of July. It's my favorite holiday.
Spectacular. It's mine, too.
Yeah.
What?
Is it yours, too?
Totally.
Healy and I, for a couple of years, have had back-to-back 4th of July celebrations.
That's dope.
And they've come to sort of work together.
There's a symbiosis there.
Set them up at Healy's, knock them down at Medina.
Exactly.
The old adage goes.
That's how it works.
What does that mean exactly?
You know, if you got your eye on a cute guy, cute girl, chat them up at Healy's. Oh. Don't put it on the line. Mm-hmm. Then at Medina's, things get a bit bacchanal.
Uh-huh.
There's fireworks going off. Boom.
go in for the clothes.
Fireworks everywhere.
Are you speaking hypothetically or anecdotally here, man?
The time that I had to leave Medina's party last year, late at night, I'm sitting down in a dark corner of the party, and a guy just sits down next to me and goes, "Hey, have you ever seen anyone die?" And I was like, I think I'm out of here. I gotta go.
That's how it goes, man.
Yeah.
The last time I went to the 4th of July party at Medina's, I got on the roof with him to launch some fireworks. And I was admonished by a friend of the show, Little Esther, who told me to get down and reminded me that Jews don't go on the roof.
I was thinking about that because there's actually a famous example.
A fiddler on the roof.
Yeah,
a fiddler. I got to tell her. God damn, that's
Jews
right.
Jews don't go on the roof.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even Jewish, and they tell me that it's silly for many
23
reasons.
23andMe is going to show up any day now.
Oh, have we talked about that at all?
Yeah, you mentioned it.
We did.
We sent in 23.
We're awaiting our results.
We're awaiting our 23andMe results. Okay. We're all taking the test. The test?
Yeah, we took it. We're going to read our results, quote unquote, live on the air. Okay.
Give me some 4th of July memes.
Right. Okay, so here's the concept, guys, for the 4th of July spectacular. I have here a list of iconic summertime 4th of July type things.
Well said.
And these are just part of the sort of the constellation of 4th of July. And what we're going to try to decide today is whether they're underrated or overrated.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
And so that's the idea. It's an over-under or an under-over. Oh,
right.
I'm
with you. I love this.
And Heels is going to take the underrated side.
He believes in things are good.
I want to get one where I can flip it.
Okay.
You get one flip about him.
One flip about him. One flipperoo.
One flipperoo. And Dave, for the most part, is going to take the overrated side. Yeah. Okay, so the way this is going to work, I'm going to do 3 minutes.
More
is that
than
how we're going to do?
Yeah, per? That's fine. Yeah, three minutes. Yeah.
And in sort of like the way we kind of would otherwise conduct a micro debate, we're just going to fire.
We're just going to go. Let's go.
Item, 4th of July icon number one. Are you ready, Steve?
Yep.
Watermelon.
I get one flip about him, but I ain't using it for watermelon. Watermelon is underrated. Watermelon is incredible. First of all, watermelon is so cheap. Like, you can get a huge watermelon for $2 and feed your entire party the sweetest, delicious, red-colored, aesthetically pleasing fruit you can imagine. I love watermelon. They've gotten to seedless watermelon. When I was a kid, the one problem with watermelon was seeds. That's over. We don't have to worry about that anymore. You can knock them getting them at the store where you're knocking on them to hear the sound and making sure you're picking out the right one, to the slicing them up, to the ripping the size, to the tossing
the rinds
over.
All right, that's enough
over.
Already.
There's nothing I don't like about watermelon.
Three biggest problems with watermelon. One, the stickiness. It's gross. You need a hose afterwards because it's running down your chin. You feel disgusting.
That's
number
a positive.
Two, what?
Yeah, I'm actually going to say that's a positive. Like, that's part of the 4th of July sensual festivity. Like,
unpleasantness?
It's time to... Sometimes you cut loose and you let a little juice run down
your
face.
Okay, well, we'll let the listener decide whether having sticky stuff on your face is a pro or a con.
Big deal. Get a napkin.
Getting the god darn thing home from the supermarket.
That is watermelons fun. Rolling around in the back.
Unwieldy.
Fun,
it's unwieldy. What did you say? You can throwing it home?
You can do it. Throwing it in the back. Bringing it home is fun.
Throwing it in the
you
back.
You can do a bit of
you
putting
can't
the seatbelt on
it. Look, I consider myself of like between men and women sort of like average physical strength as a human being. It's difficult to carry a watermelon. And then you got to like... Okay, maybe I'm below average, whatever. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Fine. Yes, I have an autoimmune disease that attacks my joints and makes it difficult to carry things. That may be true. But they're heavy, they're big, and there's no easy... And then if you don't bring a whole watermelon home, then you got to buy it either cubed or sliced, and then it's not nearly as
That's
fresh.
That's fun, too.
It doesn't taste that good. It's not like... There's a reason that like other things don't taste like watermelon that much is because it's a taste that like we don't...
No,
because
it's such a unique taste, it's hard to replicate. Also...
That's not true.
To people who are not into the taste of watermelon...
Like in terms of like candies and beverages, like, yeah, you can occasionally get like watermelon juice, but much more common is all
watermelon
the other kind
Jolly
of
Jolly Rancher is the best Jolly Rancher. Everyone
well,
knows
that's
that.
Crazy.
Also, like, if you don't like the taste of watermelon, do as our Mexican friends do. Put a little chili, a little lime on there. put some salt or some pepper or some hot sauce on there.
If you
want to
argue that seasoning is underrated, then I would agree with
you. But watermelon's a wonderful delivery mechanism for seasoning. It's got this aerated texture.
So that's your argument. Nice. That's your argument why watermelon is underrated, is because it's a vehicle for seasoning.
Well, I'm just getting down to the 5% of people who for some reason don't like and appreciate the taste of watermelon.
It's sticky. Saying, it's gross. It's not that tasty.
It's not that sticky.
It's cumbersome. It's unwieldy. It's heavy. Okay. What's next?
Item number two.
Yeah.
Underrated or overrated? Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. I have a flip about them I can use whenever I want, but I'm not using it for hot dogs.
Oh, okay.
The reason why is because I think the sort of collective social understanding of hot dogs has devalued them quite a bit. Let's be honest about where hot dogs are rated right now. Everyone, when they sees a hot dog, knows that, like, you know, they have in their head, this is made out of pig anus, it's disgusting, it's revolting, whatever. That's like built into the hot dog's price or rating, whatever you want to call it. So I think because of that, hot dogs are actually quite a bit underrated because we have all kinds of hot dogs. There are vegan hot dogs. There are kosher hot dogs. If you like the snap of the hot dog, you can get the Nathan's hot dogs. There are artisanal hot dogs with stuff inside them. The world of hot dogs is wide and vast, and we are underrating how good hot dogs are.
The truth is that the world of hot dogs is narrower than you'd like it to believe, and that all of those artisanal hot dogs you're talking about are actually more accurately described as sausages. The world of sausages and the wursts, if you will, the bratwurst.
Where does hot sausage end and hot dog begin? Well, who knows?
Anything that's branded as a hot dog is a hot dog, and otherwise. But again, if you're talking about the kind of places where you can go to a store and get like an adventurous kind of quote unquote hot dog, the truth is that those aren't hot dog places; those are sausage places, and that's what they're called. They're called like artisanal sausages. Hot dogs are gross. There's a reason why the market, so to speak, has lowered the value of hot dogs, and it's only going to get lower. They're currently overrated. They are made out of pigs. Anuses. They also have an incredible amount of nitrates in them, which often give you headaches. People don't see that coming. They're not refreshing in any way.
Watermelon. A hot dog and watermelon, great combo that reason.
You know what?
Salty snack, sweet snack. It's a sad
moment when Healy has to revert to an earlier argument to try to make a point in a current one. You know that we're talking about hot dogs and not watermelon.
Yeah, but watermelon and hot dogs can be a fun combo. That's been part of 4th of July for forever.
Watermelon and the idea of watermelon and hot dogs together is so gross to me.
Don't shove them in your mouth at the same time.
What other choice do I have, Healy?
Hot dog off the. Also, just the hot dog bun.
Yeah, that's terrible for you.
But the hot dog
processed
bun?
Yes, it's the ultimate bad free food.
It's
processed flour. It's awful.
Nobody's saying hot dogs should be like an everyday food. You shouldn't be eating these every single day. But on 4th of July, celebratory festive food or at the ballpark, hot dogs underrated.
There's nothing about them that's festive. The other problem, like if you're going to bring up going to a ballpark and stuff, then you got to pump the ketchup. There's always ketchup and mustard like sticking to the sides. They're always out of onions, and you're always like, more onions?
You've got OCD about stickiness. It's not a big problem.
I think the average
Grab
listener can
it's
associate
fine.
Very easily with my desire for a lack of stickiness. All right, topic three.
That debate was making me think of this time. I was walking with a buddy of mine and passed out from too much alcohol at my house. And the next day, he was incredibly hungover, and we were walking to work, and he cannot speak. And I'm passing the time by. There was a hot dog lady that used to sit outside of our workplace.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of just idly talking aloud about, like, how many hot dogs do you think she sells every day? If she sells 5 hot dogs for $5, and that's $25, still not that much money. Like, and he finally just... I look over, he's white. It looks like he's about to throw up. He goes, I need you to stop saying the word hot dogs.
Yeah, it's gross. Overrated. I get it. I get where he's coming from.
Okay. Item number three
yes.
on the list of 4th of July summertime icons.
Hit me.
Underrated or overrated? Fireworks.
Fireworks are...
I don't like this game where it's now like suspense of whether you're going to flip it or not.
Well, what do you think I'm going to do?
I don't care. You're wasting time and you're not making any points.
They're underrated. We only really get to use fireworks one day of the year. They're banned for being so illegal. I mean, so dangerous, which, you know, like, I consider that a downgrading. I think they should be rated a little higher. Fireworks are fun. They're exciting. Kids love them. People love them. It gives you this kind of sexy thrill to set off fireworks. Everybody loves a big fireworks show. It's great. Fireworks are fun. They're underrated.
Fireworks are overrated. Here's the main reason. Every time you go to a fireworks show, the only good part is the finale. The whole fireworks show should be the finale, and the whole prelude is a waste of my time. It's the only thing I've never
You saw the video that when that happened.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, it was the best.
No, it sucked. It was funny and cool.
Part of the reason was that they also didn't go into the air correctly. It was like on the ground, and Everything just sort of exploded. As well.
Hey,
it wasn't
I agree.
A proper
there should be a little
show.
Bit different choreography to most fireworks shows. I'm with you on having a more higher impact, shorter show. I think most fireworks shows are too long, but that's just a reason that's causing fireworks rating to be deflated. That's one reason why they are underrated.
I feel like this isn't meant to be an argument about where the market is currently set on these items.
No, if we're talking about overrated, underrated, we have to assume some baseline.
Okay,
right?
Haley, you're right. Yeah. The recent events of that guy, the football player who blew his finger off or whatever, have devalued fireworks a little bit. I still say that they're overrated because here's the thing. When was the last, what's the last fireworks show that you even remember? Like when you stand there and you watch fireworks, you go like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And then it's over and you go like, all right, it was the same as every other fireworks show. There's only so many varieties of fireworks. Oh, that one was blue.
But you know,
all right, it's not that exciting. They are actually very dangerous. There's a reason they're outlawed in a lot of states.
Year after year after year, people gather to watch fireworks shows. They can't stop. They can't
get
enough of them. The fields are full of people watching them. You'd think that people would get over fireworks. They don't.
The reality is that most of the people who gather to watch fireworks are with families, and they're looking for an excuse to just distract their kids for a little bit. It's become a tradition that we haven't put any real thought into, like, why are we actually doing this? It also, here's another another point, is that it's a huge waste of municipal reserves, I believe, because a lot of towns and cities and even our federal government are wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars on these fireworks shows. Money that could be spent helping underprivileged people. What are we doing spending it on shit that's going to we're throwing money into the sky to be blown
that's
up.
That's true of every kind of festive thing. For everything.
Well, festive things are overrated.
You know what you left on the table? Dogs. The scariness of how much dogs hate fireworks.
I didn't.
I think that's the big case
against
fireworks.
I crushed you.
Like on 4th of July, dogs are just flipping out.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's fourth? Final item on the list.
Okay.
3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
Underrated or overrated block parties?
I'm not going to use my flip about them.
What?
I think block parties are underrated.
Why did you lord the flip over all of us this whole time if you never intended to use
for
one?
For fun? Why do I do everything?
Yeah, it worked.
Look, block parties, when a neighborhood gets together and people are all contributing to a party and there's shared music, shared conversion of the neighborhood space into a party space, that's really special. It's unfortunately all too rare in our society. I don't live on a block that has a block party. Wish I did. It seems like really fun. I think block parties are underrated.
If you want to talk about the market value of things, the market value of a block party is almost as high as anything. It's like the American ideal of what it means to be part of a community. If you say the words block party, people instantly are cut. Like you just said, I wish I was part of a block that had a block party. What fun, incredible, the neighbors coming together to use a communal space. Here's the reality of the block party. And let me tell you something. I grew up on Laurel Drive in Needham, Massachusetts, which has the oldest block party in the town, one that is still going to this day. It's every Labor Day weekend, I believe. And the reality is that they're just not that fun. It's hot potato salad out in the sun. You have to talk to your neighbors who you don't even really know that well. More so than ever, we're dealing with people who we've kind of gone out of our way to not talk to on a daily basis.
When I look at Trump, when I look at bowling alone, this kind of stuff, what do I see? There's not enough
community. What did
community.
You say, bowling alone?
Yeah, you remember that guy that wrote that book, Bowling Alone? It's about how people are not like engaged in social activities. I'm using that as shorthand for things sociologists generally accept, which is that like American people are not.
If these things are so amazing, then why aren't there block parties? Because they're disappearing.
People can't get it together. They've become too lonely and ostracized to make that effort to reach out for block parties.
Well, you see,
most people are sitting in their houses pining away for a block party. That's why we see the response to Dave.
If people wanted a block party, they could put a block party together. Those are, you know, that those are.
They're collective
anomalous
fantasies.
Examples of block parties. And they're not actually block parties. Those are concerts.
Audiences are willing also, collective Adam fantasy, Devine's, and they're putting it on television.
It's a house party, not a block party. Dave Chappelle's block party was just a concert that was super fun.
Yeah.
He called it a block party.
Who wouldn't love that?
But no other
life.
Block party in America has like the Fugees playing at it. If you're lucky, you get the fire truck, and the kids ride around on it, and it's kind of disappointing, and it's a letdown.
I hadn't even thought of the fire truck. That sounds great. I mean, I wish I had that in my life. Block parties are underrated.
Do you really wish you could ride on a fire truck?
No, but I'd love that to be a part of my neighborhood. Is like the firemen are coming and participating in the community. The kids are getting to meet them. We're getting to know each other. We're sharing together. We're listening to music together. We're dancing. That's like what's missing from too many neighborhoods in this country.
That's not what's happening at an actual block party. That's what you think happens at a block party. The reality is it's everywhere. Caleb, you're not. Caleb, get over here. That's a block party.
I'm playing with Debbie. We just met. She
Caleb.
Lives across the street.
Caleb. Caleb. Don't touch that. Don't touch that, please.
I mean, you know, there Caleb. Are some bummer moms out there. Caleb's mom.
That was a dad.
One.
That was a dad.
Oh,
I'll dad. Have
yeah.
you know.
That's a real bummer.
Are we? Is there more?
I'm exhausted.
That was really great.
So mercifully, we're done.
How do we? What's
here's
things?
How I think yeah. we scored. I think we ended up in a dead heat.
No!
Oh, a dead summer heat, as it were. I'm going with Healy on watermelon.
By the way, I love watermelon.
It's
I
the
really
best.
Hated
it's
having
the
to argue against it. Yeah,
I'm
great.
Going with King on hot dogs.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going with Healy on fireworks.
Okay. Well, that
no surprise.
I'm going with King on block parties.
I thought I did well there, yeah.
That's cool.
I don't think I've been to a block party.
I don't know if I have either.
Well, then what were you even talking about?
I was talking out of my butt, as is often the case, bud.
Yeah. I mean, strong.
Okay.
But outmatched there. Just there.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens next 4th of July.
Let's all go out there this next few days and try all this stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
Rip into some watermelon. Tear into a hot dog. Light off some fireworks. And try to throw together a block party if you can.
Yeah. All right.
Will we come to anybody's block party if they invite the Great Debates to be the entertainment?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we might.
Just
I,
now
I
all
guess
days
if the schedule
vacation.
Permitting, yeah.
It's a scheduling
sure.
issue more
it's
than
a scheduling
anything.
Issue, yeah.
That's why block parties is such a pain to schedule the block party.
Some people have conflicts.
If someone has a soccer practice, that person has mock.
Caleb has soccer practice.
Mock
Caleb
Senate.
And Caleb's dad are... I would love the block party if it wasn't for Caleb and Caleb's dad.
Yeah. Well, you should have heard Leonard Roosevelt, who was here last week. That guy sucked.
I don't want to go to a block party with him.
Guys, we're nearing the end of Long June. And I just wanted to say 2016 was a great one. And I hope you enjoyed the episodes that we put together for this Long June. And I hope we brightened your day here and there. If you liked what we did, send us an email. If you didn't like what we did, send us an email. Tweet at us, email us, find us on Instagram. Get to us somehow. We love hearing from you.
We're Great Debate 69 everywhere, basically. That's all you need to know.
At Gmail and everything else.
And I want you all to go out there and have a fun and safe holiday. And we'll see you in short July. Real soon. Bye-bye. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.